read that again. So Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood of the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to the young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Yes, here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for every part of your word, Lord, for every lesson that you teach us, for the growth that you give us, Father God, and the lessons that you teach us, Lord. Thank you for speaking life to us through your word, for speaking love to us through your word, for constantly reminding us of how much you love each and every one of us, Father God, and the plans that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, Lord, and I pray that you would speak tonight, Father God, and that you would prepare the word and prepare our hearts, our ears, and our minds to receive, Lord, and that you would take these thoughts that you've put inside my mind and heart, Lord, even if they're jumbled up, that you would prepare them in the way that you want, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jumbled up.
So I wasn't here last week, but just a quick recap on chapter 21. Does anyone remember anything from chapter 21? Give you guys a little hint. The word of God was fulfilled with Isaac being born. And what happened when he was born? Sarah, she laughed, right? But it was laughter out of joy. Remember previously she laughed when she heard that she was going to have a child, but I believe that laughter was out of like numbness or sorrow or numbness, I think. That's what I believe. Because she felt like, I'm already at an old age, I'm not going to have any kids. What else? I think during that laughter, there was some restoration in her heart. She received something from God, and that's why she had joy when she laughed, as that numbness became laughter of joy. Of course, Isaac's name means laughter. What about Hagar? What happened to Hagar?
Sent away.
Sent away, right? Sarah didn't want her and her son Ishmael there. And what happened to Hagar when she was in the wilderness? Ran out of water? You guys can talk. Not rhetorical questions. She ran out of water, right? And I think she was, you know, she kind of broke down. She put the child away. It says at a bow shot's distance. I don't know exactly what that distance is, but probably a decent amount of distance where she could see him. But she was broken about it. You know, I'm kicked out of the house. And but what did God do? God spoke to her, right? God spoke to her and he gave her that water, gave her confirmation over Ishmael's life that he is with him. And at the end of chapter 21, in verse 33, it says, Abraham plants a tamarisk tree and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. By the way, I know we're used to like a 45-minute message, but this one will probably be shorter. You guys know Mike Tyson?
Yeah.
He's a boxer, and one time he had a boxing match. Goes in the ring, I think it was 18 seconds, something around that. Goes in, knocks the guy out, and then walks away off the ring and leaves. And people were mad because they paid a lot of money to watch. And so tonight, he came for a short. I'm going to be the one being knocked out, though. So with that kind of a recap on chapter 21, I want to go a little bit further back, kind of recap Abraham's life and things that that I saw in Abraham's life. So God told Abraham to go to a foreign land, and he couldn't see ahead, but he believed God, he trusted him, and he went not knowing where he's going exactly or what he's going to do there. So there was faith and trust in what God told him to do. And then God told him he will have a son, and he believed God. He believed God's word, what he told him is going to happen. And he went from having no sons to having two sons. And in chapter 22, we'll see kind of how faith, trust, and believing God are all combined together. And then he's tested after that because of what God has been doing in his life. God didn't set him up for failure. God doesn't set any of us up for failure. So he had a lot of waiting. Abraham had a lot of waiting in his life for that child. And I think sometimes in our lives, in our waiting, we feel like God's not working. I don't see him. I don't see him around me. And I think it's because we're looking around, but in that waiting, in that silence, God is working in us, in our lives, in our hearts. So it's hard to see what's going on here when we're looking all around. You're seeing a lot of silence in that wilderness, in that quietness in our lives. So the first verse in chapter 22 says, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. After what things? The waiting, the growth.
After Ishmael.
Right. Yeah. I think during that whole time, God was really working on Abraham. You guys remember a while back when Abraham and his wife went to a new land, and he said, "This is my sister," because he was afraid, right? He was afraid if they find out it's his wife, they'll kill him and take his wife. But if it's his sister, they're not going to harm him, you know. But I like what I saw in chapter 21 towards the end. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servant seized. So Abraham, who went from lying and hiding something because of fear, now he has this boldness, and he's able to rebuke Abimelech instead of being afraid. So God, what I see is God is working in his life. There's growth, there's maturity, and his faith and his trust and his believing in God really were all combined together. And now Abraham is being tested. What we notice too verse 1 of chapter 22, God calls him by name. Sorry, I'm going to go back to something real quick. So a few things that I kind of learned, or God spoke to me about in this short passage, and I pray that it would really touch hearts and be remembered, is God is the God of personal relationship and not the God of religion. God desires our undivided heart. Through challenges and tests, we grow and mature. Also, as we grow in closer to God. So we're growing and we're maturing as a person, but we're also growing closer to God. After the tests and challenges, we know God a little bit better. We can look back at something and say, I saw your hand in this. And I saw you and I know you, God, a little bit better because of what I went through. And as we know God a little bit better, we know His love for us. We know His plans for us. As we know His love for us, we start to love Him a little bit more, a little bit deeper. As the Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. But I truly believe we'll know His love more by knowing Him and knowing His love for us. Believing, trusting, and having faith in God, and it gets put into a test, which is what we see here in Abraham's life. So God calls on Abraham by name. Why do you guys think that? Why didn't God say, hey you, or hey man, dude? What's up, dude? Why did he do that? Right. It's exactly that. It's personal. God is very, very personal with us. And He's not bringing us a religion where God is up there and we're down here and there's huge separation. No, God is up close and personal. He's raw with us and He wants us to be raw and open with Him. He tore down the veil. So there is that closeness and personal relationship. But also He wants to show us that we're recognized. He knows us, He loves us, and He remembers us, and we're important to Him. So, in this passage, a lot of times we read it or we hear it preached, and we see a comparison of Isaac's life and Christ. Isaac was the sacrifice, he carried the wood, just as Jesus carried the cross, but I didn't really want to go into that. I think those few things that God put on my heart about faith and trusting God and believing God is kind of what I'm focusing on today. So he said to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, because now Ishmael is gone, right? So his only son is Isaac now, whom you love. It's funny how God has a sense of humor. He's reminding him, you're going to take your son and offer him up. He's the one that you love, you really love. What's that? Yeah. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. I didn't get into the whole study of it, but I looked a little bit about Moriah, and I believe that's where the temple was built. All the Bible students, that's where the temple of Solomon's temple was built. In verse 3, I noticed something which kind of stuck out to me. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled a donkey. I mean, if God comes to you and says, hey, I'm going to have you offer me your son whom you really love, I would personally start delaying and walk, really get up real slow from bed, snooze the alarm about 20 times. But it says, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and went on the road. I don't think, by the way, he told Sarah what's going on, because she would have killed Abraham right there. He took two of his young men with him, maybe as a backup just in case. Maybe God has a humor. We'll use one of them to sacrifice. He split the wood for the burnt offering, arose, and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. I noticed that he didn't complain. Abraham did not complain to God. You know, you had me wait all these years, and you finally give me this son, and now you want to take him away? I think Abraham, though it might seem like a huge struggle for him, I really don't think it was. And the reason I don't think it was is because he learned to trust God and to have faith in God. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back." What do you guys notice in that last part of that verse?
We
will come back. He knew. He had faith in God. I think he was kind of excited to see what God is going to do. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, son." Then he said, "Look at the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Why do you think Abraham didn't complain to God and he wasn't fearful? Because nowhere in that passage does it say he was afraid or complaining.
God promised him a nation from the promised son. So God can't promise and then cause them to destroy the promise.
Right.
So it's almost believing in what God said despite what he's asking you to do through it.
Mm-hmm.
That assurance that this is the voice of God, I think it was enough for him to do whatever he wants, God wants. And he did it before, that gave him a son when he was 100, so why not he gives him back this son or another? So this is why he was in peace about that.
Mm-hmm. Because also, 100% I agree. If you look back in chapter 21, when Sarah told Abraham, you know, kick Hagar out and her son, the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let this be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. But whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." And God reminded him. God reminded him, and Abraham was obedient. I think that's one of the other reasons that God tested Abraham, because God was growing him. In all these little things, God was growing Abraham and maturing him. His faith and trust in God was growing. And I believe in our lives, we go through challenges, we go through trials, we go through storms, and our first reaction is always, take me out of it, God. Why me? Why am I going through this? One thing after another. But God is using all these things to grow us and to mature us and to grow our faith and trust in Him. And as our faith and trust in Him grows, we're growing closer to Him. There's a closer bond between God and ourselves. I remember, and some of you guys know, so about 6 years ago, I strayed from God for about 3 years. And I went through such a hard time at work. And long story short, so my boss was trying to push me out. He wants me basically to quit or demote me. And I'm so confused. I'm doing my job. I'm working 12 hours a day. I'm helping my boss do his job because he doesn't know how to do it. You know, some people can relate. And to me, it was so frustrating. It was like I was being backstabbed. I was hurt. I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do. And I turned to God because of that. God really reminded me that I need to turn to Him, because He reminded me of who He was in my past and who He still is. And then I remember talking to another manager who works there, who I've known for years from a different dealership. And he told me, he said, I don't think the big boss knows about what's going on, what they're trying to do to you. He goes, he's out of state for first meetings and training. Why don't you email him and talk to him? So I emailed him, and right away he said, I didn't know about any of this. And I had told the big boss that I'm not going to agree to being demoted. I'm probably just going to quit my job. And he said, don't quit your job. Stay there. Don't do anything. Nothing's going to happen to you until I come back. But during that time, during that waiting, 5-6 days, it was pretty frustrating. It was, I had some peace, but at the same time, that waiting just, there's doubt, there's a little bit of confusion, but God was working inside of me, just as He was working inside of Abraham. He was growing my faith and trust in Him. Because of that, I started to pray again with God. I started to, that channel of communication with God reopened after not talking to God for years. So God was using that storm. And long story short, God really, I saw the hand of God save me in that situation. So the general manager came back and basically forced that manager to quit, and he kept me in my position. And it's not always like we have, you know, we cross through the storm with that physical blessing or that physical trophy or whatever you want to call it, but there's that growth, you know, in that storm. Yeah, God did help me. God brought me back to Him. So spiritually, God was working inside me, but He also gave me a deliverance, a physical deliverance from that situation. It's not always the case. But God used that situation to grow something inside of me. And He opened up the relationship again between Him and I. And I had faith in God. And I truly saw the hand of God. And because I saw the hand of God, I turned back to Him. And I started reading the Word of God again. I opened up the book of Psalms. And it's funny because I didn't know how to get back into that relationship with God. So I said, let me start in the book of Psalms because they're prayers. So they're going to do the hard work for me. And I'm just kind of repeating these prayers. But God was doing wonderful things and growing me and maturing me. And through that storm took me a long way. And as soon as God brought me back, there was storm after storm. But God was still growing me and maturing me. And then there was tests. And through the tests, God also grows us and matures us. And I believe a lot of times we're going through these storms and these challenges. God is not trying to harm us or hurt us. It's not to push us down. He's not setting us up for failure, but to grow us and to grow us closer to Him. Not just as a person, because sometimes we're like, well, I don't want to mature more. I don't want to grow more. No, but God is trying to do more than that and bring us closer to Him. Closer knowledge of Him, knowing Him more, a close relationship with Him, a personal relationship. So I just want to read again those few points that God really put on my heart